salvation, and in Jesus Christ we have a King who knows how to teach us and lead us and guide us and rule over us. So we submit to Him willingly. We trust Him. And that comes, that's the same that we do when it comes to the family, particularly raising children in Ephesians 6. Let's begin reading at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. That's Christ's will for children. And now parents, verse 4. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, help us as we try to understand the scriptures about family life. We've already studied husbands and wives and how to live under grace with each other. And now I pray that you'd help us as parents and children to accept your teachings, to submit to you in how we are to live in the home together. Today, as we continue to study Christian parenting, child raising, we ask that you would cause our hearts to be submissive, both as parents and children, to accept your will over man's opinion, and to submit to you, Lord Jesus Christ, because you are our King. For we pray in your blessed name. Amen. Are you a gospel witness to your children? That's really the question of verse 4 that needs to be answered. He's teaching us how to be gospel witnesses to our children. Fathers and mothers are called to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this means more than providing church for them. It means that parents are to teach the gospel to their children and live the gospel before their children, to bring them up in it, in the instruction about the Lord and the discipline of the Lord. Now, Paul had no children of his own, but he had a spiritual burden for their welfare, the welfare of his kinsmen according to the flesh and his friends. And he said, I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have a great sorrow. I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed. That means he wished that he could suffer hell, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. If Paul could go to hell so they could go to heaven, he was willing to do that. That's how concerned he was for their souls. And he said in Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer, my prayer to God for them, that is for his Jewish friends and kinsmen, was for their salvation. He had this burden for their souls, this prayer continually for their salvation. And that's the burden that we should have for our friends and relatives. If we really believe in Jesus Christ, if we really know that all men will be judged for their sins, that we are condemned under our sins, everybody is, that there really is a heaven and hell, as Jesus taught, that as he taught, there is only one way for the sinner to find eternal life, and that's through faith in him alone, submission to him alone. If we really believe these things, then we will pray for those that we're concerned about, and we will endeavor to bring the good news of Christ to them in some way. And our children need this. Our children need the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. They need to believe in Jesus Christ for themselves. We can't make them. They have to come to Him themselves. One of the great burdens of a parent's heart is to see their children reconciled with God so that God can be their ruler, that God can be their Father, and Christ their Savior, that He will be their guide through the life long after the parents are dead and gone. When Jesus cast out demons from the Gadarene demoniac, and the man was sitting in his right mind, people were amazed. And the man was so overwhelmed with the power of Jesus Christ to overcome the evil that had possessed him, and that now he was free from his bondage to sin and Satan, he asked Jesus if he could follow him with the band of disciples. And that's a good thing, to want to do that and to ask Christ for that. But Jesus said, no, you can't follow me. And then Jesus told him what he wanted him to do, and he said, go home to your people and tell them what great things I have done for you. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. It is Christ's will that Christians bear witness to their people, to their family and their friends, and especially parents to their children. We are commanded to be the great evangelist of our children. Their eternal souls are at stake. If you don't bring the gospel to your children, who will? If you don't teach them about the greatness of Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the only true Son of God and Savior, who will? If you don't love Him and care for Him enough to teach Him to your children, why should they believe He's that important anyway? God has given this mission to parents. The eternal souls of our children are at stake. Do you have this burden for your children? That they would know the only true God, that they would find forgiveness of sins, that their hearts would be changed to love God instead of themselves, to love their neighbor as themselves, to be a loving, forgiving, and serving person instead of a selfish, self-absorbed person. Do you have that burden for your children? The only way they can be freed from their bondage to sin and Satan is through Jesus Christ. And God has not left it to youth pastors and workers to do this, but to parents. The parents are commanded to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, about the Lord, according to the Lord's way, that they may come to the Lord. It's a sobering thing. And we believe that God can save our children at any age. In church history, there have been times where children of very young age have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the story that Jonathan Edwards wrote about little Phoebe Bartlett, who was 4 years old, who went through a time of great grief over her sins,
prayed for God to save
brothers and sisters,
and went to the Lord Jesus Christ and began to live as a faithful Christian, 4 years old.
God can save them at any time, but He saves through our gospel witness to our children and our prayers for them. Those are the means that He uses. This morning, I want us to look at the calling to be a gospel witness to our children. Paul said to Timothy to stay faithful to the sacred writings he had heard from babyhood. That's the word that's used, babyhood. And Paul started that letter in 2 Timothy with saying, remember your mother Lois and your grandmother Eunice, who taught you the scriptures from babyhood. That's when we start. Parents somehow think that if they'll just take their children to church and One day they'll make up their mind and make their own decision. But God has told parents to teach their children at home, themselves, personally, and encourage them to go to Christ, not to make up their minds, to call them to repent and believe the gospel of the only Savior of the world. And this urgency, this burden for the souls of our children is to be there every day so that it will affect us in the way we bear witness to those children, the way we live before those children. We've talked about five principles of child raising. We've studied three, and this morning the fourth, which is being a gospel witness to your children. The first one was that marriage comes first. We cannot make our children the idols of our home. It hurts them. They must fit into the marriage. The relationship of father and mother or husband and wife comes first. Children are added. And they must learn to adjust to the parents, not parents to the children. To do it the other way makes children self-centered, the center of the home, which turns into a self-centered person. And for themselves, a self-centered marriage one day. Parents must build their marriage. And the second principle is that you have to accept the spiritual condition of your children. They really are sinners by nature. Those times that they're so sweet and goo-goo and gaga and you just fall over yourself taking pictures are wonderful. When they're saying no, but do you take pictures off, disobey, and throw a fit and fall on the floor? Maybe you should and show them what they're like. They're sinners. You have to accept that so that you will not lose heart in raising your children. Explode in anger. Be surprised at their sins. I can't believe he acted that way. I can't believe she said that or did that. If you read the Bible, you should never be surprised at the sins of your children. And then react and overreact with anger and frustration or make excuses. Third, you must accept the grace of God for yourself, that you have been saved only because of God's kindness, not because you're a good person. That your sins have made a separation between you and your God. And that only the Lord Jesus Christ's death can atone for those sins. And only those who come to Him as Lord of their life, to follow Him as His disciple, are forgiven and accepted by God. And when we believe that God saves us by faith alone in Christ, and that we're adopted as His children, and He loves us enough to care for us and discipline and correct us, do we learn how to treat our children? But the fourth thing is what I want us to talk about this morning, and that is to accept being your calling to be a gospel witness to your child. And there are three things that are involved with this. And the first one is, you have to accept the hindrances that are there. There are hindrances to bearing witness to your child. You have to accept that and work through them. Secondly, we always have to bear witness to our children under grace ourselves. Believing in God's grace, living in God's grace, so that we can witness graciously. And third, we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind and learn to think daily and continually as a Christian who lives under the law and the gospel of God. So the first thing in being an effective witness to your children is to understand that there will be hindrances. There are difficulties naturally attached to teaching your children about Christ. It's a strange enigma in the Christian's life that it's easier to bear witness of Christ to a stranger than it is to
why
your own family
that way?
And friends. Well, we know why it's that way, because they know us. They know our sins. They know our failures. They have seen us at our worst. Strangers don't know. Children do. And as a result, sometimes it is hard for parents to deal with their own heart and control themselves and be a gracious witness to their children because they live in guilt and failure before their children. And sometimes children will not listen to their parents when they teach them about Christ because they are self-righteously sitting there looking at their mom and dad and saying, "You're no better than I am. What right do you have to tell me what to do?" But you see, all of that is unbelief and rebellion against God, Almighty God, who knows our hearts. For He has called parents and commanded them to bear witness to the children. And He's commanded children to listen to their parents. It's about submission to God. It's not about the faultiness of the parents or the children. Sometimes we feel like hypocrites in pointing our spouse or children to Christ, so we don't say what we should. We feel embarrassed to speak of Christ to them because we're afraid they'll think we're hypocrites. Sometimes we're tempted pridefully not to admit our sins to our family. Maybe we have sinned against them. And parents sometimes have this strange attitude that if I admit to my child that I was wrong, they'll lose respect for me. That is a backward way of thinking of Scripture. It is the parent who is willing to say to their child, "I'm sorry, I was angry at you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry, I was wrong in what I told you to do. Please forgive me." That is what wins the hearts of our children to trust us and respect us. Instead of pridefully never admitting we're wrong, it's that honesty and transparency that we ourselves are trying to live with a clear conscience before God that our children respect. The truth is that if any parent were afraid to teach or discipline their children or correct them because they themselves are sinners, their children would never be taught anything or corrected about anything. But because of God's grace, and because we can humble ourselves to our children when we're wrong, we have been given the command to teach them what is right. And they're commanded to listen and obey. We're so afraid our children will lose respect for us that it harms our witness and we refuse to admit our wrongs. And sometimes we're tempted to personal anger against our children when they reject us for disobeying us. That's a hindrance. It's amazing how you can love a child. They come from the womb and you hold that new baby and it is an amazing experience, as Brother Will has testified this week. That child comes into the world and somehow God made this child from a husband and wife. And the two became one literally in this child. And love wells up in the heart. And you just look at that child. It's amazing. And you think, "I'm going to love this child forever." But when that child looks you in the face and says, "No, I will not obey you," it's amazing how anger can rise up in a parent's heart. Sinful anger. Even rage. And discipline does not become correction, but revenge. That's when our children don't respect us. Paul warned parents, especially fathers, in verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke or stir up your children to anger." Now, no one can make another person angry. It always comes from their own heart. But you can put stumbling blocks in their path. You can make life difficult for them. You can change the situation unjustly and treat them inconsistently so they become frustrated and exasperated. When you men at work or women at work, you find your boss gives you a rule and you follow it, and then he changes it or he doesn't follow up with it. You get frustrated. Or he promises you one thing, and then when you rely on that, he changes his mind and frustrates you. You find impatience and anger arising in your heart. The rules have changed. The authority is inconsistent. It doesn't keep its promise. And the same thing happens to children. And they break it.
When we tell them that they must
obey this rule, it tells them that we lack integrity. We do not keep our promises. And therefore, how can they rejoice and appreciate when we do keep our promises? We should not make rules for our children and fail to keep our word, because it teaches them that we don't mean our word when we give them good things. Promise them good things. It teaches them that you cannot be counted on to keep your promises, and that therefore God cannot be counted on to keep his word. Parents must learn that there are hindrances in being a gospel witness to their children, and many of the hindrances are within the parents. We should not be surprised by the opposition of our children when we try to speak to them about Christ or correct them for a wrong or discipline them when they have sinned against us or their brother and sister or someone else. Jesus made a promise, and these words, as a pastor, I have seen come true in so many lives over these 30 plus years. It grieves me still. I have memories. I have faces in my mind. Jesus said in Matthew 10:21, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. I've seen fathers hate children because the children became Christians. Can you imagine? Children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, Jesus said. In the first and second century, during the persecutions, sometimes it was children who told the Roman and Jewish authorities that their parents were Christian, which ended in their death. Matthew 10:34, Jesus said, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword Jesus came to bring. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And I have seen that to be true so many times, where a parent becomes a Christian and starts to teach their children, rebel and call them hypocrites and rebel even more and hate their parents for bringing God into the home. I've seen parents hate their children, be angry at them, impatient with them because their children are trying to learn about God, and the parents think that's just a bunch of junk. When children marry, it's such a tenuous relationship between the new spouse and the in-laws. And I have seen Christianity held to by the in-laws become a source of opposition by the spouse of their own child, and family conflicts interfere because one's a Christian, one's not. So sad, because it's all rooted in sin. But Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. When you become a Christian and live as a Christian, there will be trials. Through many tribulations, Paul said, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's not easy to raise children in the Lord. You have to accept that your child's sinful nature will oppose your instruction and discipline sometimes. But you cannot fear your child's approval and love to be more important than God's approval and love. Fearing your children, wanting them to love you so bad that you don't obey God in the way you raise them. You're afraid they will reject it. They won't like it. And the children become the parents in that situation. You have to accept that until your child has a heart to love God and willingly submit to your instruction and appreciate that God has given them Christian parents, until that happens, there's going to be resistance and hindrances. But you cannot fear your child more than God. When you've commanded your child to pick up your toys, their toys, to clean their room, to not speak disrespectfully to you, to take out the garbage, to read the Bible, to join the family in worship, family worship, to be kind to their brothers and sisters, you have to make them obey you through loving instruction and discipline, no matter what they think. Because God has commanded those things. They must obey you immediately to the finish. The first time you say it, because that's the way God calls us to obey Him. And we teach our children about obedience to God by what we require of them to obey us. They will resist this. They will argue and cry sometimes. They'll fall down on the floor. They'll tell you they hate you. Sometimes. They will call you unloving and uncaring. Trying to hurt you. But you are called to fear God more than your children's rejection and wrath, because they're children. Pridefully, they don't know what they don't know. And the truth of the scriptures is that children love and respect their parents who keep their word. Even if they argue, even if it seems that they pout, ultimately they know that they can depend upon you. They can depend upon you when you command them, and they can depend upon you when you promise them. And they like that security. This is not how the psychologists have told us to raise our children, but this is how the Bible tells us. Parents have to understand that. Children have to understand. And when you have sinned against your children by breaking a promise to them, by being lazy in correction when they've disobeyed you, God has given directions how to win their respect back again. And it's not by denying your fault, it's by confessing it. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if you're worshiping before the altar of God and bringing a gift to Him, and you remember that your brother has aught against you, the very smallest thing that you've sinned against your brother, leave your offering at the altar, God said, and go be reconciled first with your brother, then come and worship God. God will not allow us to leave things undone, unsettled between each other, especially between parents and children. We confess our faults to them. We ask their forgiveness when we have failed them. The greatest hindrance and then parents have in raising children
as we originally gave
is not their children. And I want to say this plainly. It's not because your particular child has a whole lot of energy. It's not because your child is especially strong-willed and hard to handle. The biggest problem that parents have in raising children is not their children, it is themselves. And until you come to that point, you'll never be consistent in raising your children in the Lord. Your children have to follow God's commands no matter what they feel. God has spoken, they are His creatures, and He's given His law. They have to obey God through obeying you. No matter how they feel, and no matter how you feel, you are called by God to teach those children those things. Only God can change their hearts to love Him and be obedient willingly to Him and to their parents. But parents must witness to their children that God's will is more important than their will. That the Son of God had to die upon a cross because our sins are so terrible and so evil. And that the God who has made us calls us to obey Him. So we have to not provoke them to anger, but bring them up continually, is what that word means, in the nurture and discipline of the Lord, no matter what they think. The second thing we have to do with our children is witness to them under grace. That is, live under grace with our children. They are more God's children than ours. They are eternal souls that will never die. They're given to us for a few years to care for and to begin their lives. And we are called to bear witness to these eternal souls that they need a Savior, as Paul prayed for the salvation of his kinsmen, as he bore witness to them. Parents remember Jesus Christ, and they think of Him as a great Savior who was so unselfish and gave Himself completely for them, humbled Himself in this world completely, even unto death for them. And they love Him
through His blood.
And they love the forgiveness that comes through His resurrection. And they love Him for His Spirit dwelling in us all the time and His eye being upon us all the time. They live in Christ, and as a result, they want to show that same grace and mercy and attention to their children, that their children can feel the love of God through them. And it affects the way parents deal with their children when children oppose them. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22. You can look up that with me if you wish, 2 Timothy 2:22. To a young pastor, how to be a pastor, how to deal with people who oppose him. It's the same principles as a father and mother to children. And so he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, "Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." In other words, deal with yourself always first. "But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome." We must not get into quarrels with our children. "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all," that includes children, "able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness or meekness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth." Only God can work in another person's heart. We can't make our children love us or respect us. What we are called to do is govern ourselves while we teach and discipline our children, praying that God will work in them, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, so that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Our children are sinful by nature. They are tempted by Satan to rebel against us, which calls us to be gracious witnesses to our children, praying for their deliverance. Teaching them graciously and disciplining them graciously. Witnessing to our kids means more than being right in our instruction and discipline. It also involves our manner, our attitude. If we have received God's grace while we were sinners, then we should show God's grace to our children while they're still sinners. That's how the grace of God governs our hearts and teaches us how to be gracious, patient, kind, forgiving, while we have to instruct and discipline our children. Showing the fruit of the Spirit to our children in our witness, loving them at all times, even when they fail in sin. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, controlling ourselves as parents. How can we expect our children to control themselves if we do not control ourselves? How can we expect them to be kind when we correct them for being angry and hateful and unforgiving and bitter if we're not kind to them while we're doing that? It is the challenge of the gospel to transform us to the image of God and the way He treats us, that we may reflect that to our children, reflecting His image to them. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger with our children, just like any stranger. In our homes, or outside our homes, many of us would not dare to speak to a stranger or a friend or someone we respect in the way we speak to our children. What's wrong with that? What's wrong is that we are not believing in God's work in their hearts and showing them the same grace we would to a total stranger. We are to bear a gospel witness to our children, to show them what Christ can do in another person's heart, especially their parents, to give them hope in Jesus Christ for themselves. And we're especially to be that way and gracious when we have to correct them. We're the gospel witness our children need. Well, how do we think as gospel witnesses? Well, that's the third point. We bear witness to our children according to the law and the gospel in the Bible. And I've mentioned this off and on as we've gone through the various messages in children's obedience and parents raising children. But you must understand that in past history, Protestant theology, Protestant churches understood that the law and the gospel is the major theology of Scripture. That these two truths, the law of God and the gospel of Christ, is what comprises the salvation of Christ and how to live as a Christian and how to teach others to live as a Christian. To get these straight in our mind affects our thinking. To err on one side or the other with our children brings a wrong view of God and their need of grace. If we are always telling them, according to law, what is wrong with them and what they have done wrong, and always having to discipline them for what they've done wrong, because that's all we talk about to them, our children will grow up thinking that God is a God of wrath who has no mercy. And if they should become Christians, they continue to think of God that way, who has no love. On the other hand, if we're always trying, as so many do in the churches today, teach children that God is a God of love, God is a God of love, but they never teach them that God is a God of judgment, that God is a God who holds them responsible for their actions. I mean, is it really a mystery why the workplace in America today can't find responsible people, it's because children have been taught they're not responsible for their actions by parents. And they've not corrected them to be responsible for their actions. If we teach them that God is a God of love and merciful without teaching them that He's a God who also requires them to obey, we're just teaching them that God will not hold them accountable for their own actions. And they'll go through their life thinking because they've had a Christian daddy or they're a member of a church or they used to go to church, they're okay with God. God's a God of love. There's so many implications about this in the workplace, in school, that God holds us responsible. We need both the law of God and the gospel of Christ in our minds when we're raising our children in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. The Ten Commandments, God's moral law, is His standard for righteousness. It is His rule of how
God gave the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel
through Moses. And then He said to the people through Moses, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And these words which I'm commanding you today," the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapters 5 and 6, "these commandments shall be on your heart, parents. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." All the time when you're with your children, the law of God is to be upon your mind as a Christian parent, teaching them that there's only one God, that God must be worshipped in spirit and truth, that the Lord's day is His day, that they must honor their father and mother, they must not murder and hate in their heart, they must not be immoral in their minds or body, they must not steal other people's property and destroy other people's property. They must not lie and be deceitful and complain and covet and be jealous and envious and discontented with everything in their lives. Those are opportunities throughout the day when we rise up, walk through the day, lie down at night, in the house, outside the house. Parents are to have the law of God on their minds and on their hearts so that they will think to teach what their children need to hear. This is not taught in many churches today. And that's why Christianity has declined so, and the quality of Christianity has declined so in our last century. The law of God is missing. His moral nature, what He wants us to be like, what it means to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, Paul said. Love is the fulfilling of the law. They need to know God's law. We need to teach them God's law. And in so doing, we're evangelizing. We're showing them that God holds them responsible for their actions. We're instilling in their minds God's moral standard and judgment. And we're also preparing their hearts to hear of the good news that there is a Savior who Himself kept the law perfectly and died upon the cross in atonement for all our law
breakings,
that God may justly forgive us for our sins. And when they fall in love with this Savior who has saved them from the wrath of God according to the law, and they believe in this gospel, this good news of Christ, their hearts are now prepared and submitted to live a life of faithful obedience to God. We must model that gospel grace and teach our children the gospel by our instruction and discipline. Family worship is essential. In my generation, my parents' generation, and generations thereafter, it's not been a part of the church life. But our forefathers of the Protestant Reformation and Baptist history taught their children in the home. They had family worship. They gathered at meals and read the Bible and prayed. Take a chapter of Scripture, talk about it, and pray, keeping God as the ruler of the home. God is the final authority of parents and children. They help their children memorize Scripture. They use the catechism, the Baptist catechism, to instill truths in their children's minds while they were little. There are so many adults I've known who were raised on the catechism, both Baptist and Presbyterian, that when they were old, they would talk about how these truths helped them to keep their minds straight while they were confused in this world. It takes time, it takes effort to evangelize your children. And especially when we have to discipline our children with the rod and reproof. We have to teach them they cannot break God's law. They cannot touch another person's property without their permission. They cannot lie to their parents and deceive their friends. They cannot covet and complain and be discontented and grumble at everything. They cannot hate another person and use bad words about or toward that person. That they cannot dishonor and speak disrespectfully to you because God will not allow it. When we have to teach them these things and discipline them with the rod, that's when the gospel kicks in. And we graciously correct our children and say to them, "Now, honey, you have disobeyed God's law, and I've corrected you for it, but you need to go to Him. You need to seek His forgiveness and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins." And we evangelize our children all the time. May God enable us as parents who have received the infinite grace of God as well as the instructions of God in how to raise our children to honor Him and obey Him and be a gospel witness of grace to our children, that they will believe that Christ is risen and that He is real, and that they will see in the parents changed lives and unconditional love to their children the effect of the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, and say, "There's something there. It's real." In every situation with children, parents have to train their minds to remember the love of God in the cross of Jesus Christ and live as gospel witnesses to their children. They must live in communion with Christ and fellowship with Christ themselves so that they think straight when they have to with their children. Then parents will seek to love their children as they've been loved by God. They will be able to forgive and be patient with their children as they've been forgiven by God. And they will have the energy they need to serve their children with instruction and discipline as they have been served by God the Son upon the cross. And those children, seeing parents who love grace and love Christ, will have a gospel witness. And our prayers for their eternal souls, I believe, will bear fruit in their lives. It may not be immediate in God's timing. It may be, you may have to wait till they have children and understand what's going on. It may be long after you're gone, but if it was a gospel witness, God's word does not return void. without accomplishing the purpose for which it was sent. And parents can live with that hope as they look upon their children. Come to Jesus Christ. Be saved by His grace.
Learn
and
how
to find
the
love of God for yourself. And you'll find the strength that comes in believing in His great love in the cross to keep you going graciously in raising your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is what your children need. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us, for we find in our own hearts weakness and temptations to sin, fear of our children, afraid of what they will do or how they'll react or whether they'll hate us. And we ask that you would help us to build our marriages first and our relationship on you, so that we'll have the strength to love our children enough not to provoke them to anger, but to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord for their eternal soul's good, no matter what they think right now. Help us, Lord. Help us to believe. To believe in you, to believe the truth of the Bible, and to believe that you're able to work in our children's hearts when we can't. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.